You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday, and we want to welcome you to the Refresh Radio program. Pray that you are having a great day. Want to take just a moment to invite you out to our services this coming Sunday morning. For those of you who may be new to the area, or maybe you've just recently given your heart to the Lord and you don't have a church home, we would love to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. We've got, you know, great things going on. A week from today, we will be having a family game night that will be taking place on April the 17th. I believe the time frame on that is 6:30. You can look that up on our website, merrittassembly.com. You can look on our Facebook page, Merritt Assembly of God. And we post things on there that are up to date and have accurate information. So we would love to have you come and join us. We have Sunday school at 9:30. That goes till about 10:10. Beginning at 10:15, we have our Acts 2:42 service, which is a time where people gather at the altar to pray or to worship. Others gather and have conversation and have some snacks that may be there that day. It's just like the book of Acts, where we meet together, we pray, we worship, and we have some fellowship. 10:30 is our worship service, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. So that Acts 2:42, it goes from 10:15 to 10:25. And it's a very loosely structured service, but it's important to pray and to worship and prepare ourselves for the presence of the Lord. Hopefully you can join us Sunday morning. Today I'm going to take you in the scriptures to one of the most familiar passages of scripture, and yet tucked away in this story is, well, there are so many biblical truths that a lot of times we can become so familiar with it that we might miss some things. And I'm going to approach the story today from a different perspective, and I'm going to read it. It's in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, there are three lost things. In verses 4 through 7, there is the story of the shepherd who goes after the lost sheep. In verses 8 through 10, there is the story of the woman who recovers her lost coin. And then in verses 11 through 32 is the story of the father and his two sons. And so I want to read the verses 11 through 32 today, and then I'll come back and we'll go through this and ask some questions, because if we just read it and we don't apply it, Basically, we have just read some words. So here it is. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And that's how Luke chapter 15 ends. There are several characters, several individuals that are mentioned in these 22 verses. The first one is originally identified as a certain man. Again, this could be a story, but it could also be a very real event that happened in a family's situation. I know it's happened a lot throughout history. It's described as a certain man and a citizen of a country, and so it could very well be a very real story, but here it is very reflective of this man with the two sons has dynamics that point us to the way that God looks at his children. And so he's described as a man. He is also described as a father. He's got two sons. One of them's older and one of them is younger. Many times in the Bible, you will find that the younger son is the one who ends up having the greater authority or the greater blessing. You see that with Jacob. You see that with his brother Esau. You see a sibling rivalry between Cain and Abel. There are a lot of times that Aaron and Moses was the younger son, and Aaron was a few years older, but both of them had giftings and both of them had purposes that God had for them, and they both had flaws. A lot of times we look at the flaws, and those flaws create flashpoints. They create points of friction. And if we're not careful, those type of moments will have greater shaping ability for the relationship than all of the good times. And so you've got the younger son and you've got the older son. And the younger son looks at the father's possessions and he views the possessions as of greater worth than his relationship with his father. I will tell you that possessions don't endure. Even if they hang around for 100 years or 1,000 years, they do not have the enduring capability of a relationship with God. And so anytime we elevate possessions or positions above relationship, we are making a serious error in judgment. So you've got the younger son and he looks at the father and he says, "You're not dying fast enough for me." Because when the father died, that's when all of the father's possessions would be dispersed to the two sons. The younger son would get a lesser share than the older son. The older son in that culture got a double allowance, a double portion. And so the younger son looks and says, "I value the possessions now to be of greater worth than my relationship with you, and I want my possessions. I want my share of your possessions." And I will tell you, we need to remember that God is the owner of everything. In doing this, not only did the younger son value possessions more than relationship, but he didn't also realize that because of the father's expertise, because of his skill, because of his wisdom, that the younger son was shortchanging himself because the father's possessions were only going to continue to increase. Okay. So the younger son says, "Nope, I want to do it my way." And a few days after the disbursement of possessions, he's up and he leaves the land he was supposed to live in. And he goes to what's described as a far country. While he's in this far country, it describes that he disperses or scatters his possessions through prodigal living. Now, I looked up the word for this, or the meaning for this word prodigal, and it means this: wasteful living. Wasteful living. So the son was wasting his finances, but he was also wasting his relationship with his father. He was wasting his health. He was wasting his emotional well-being. And when I look at that, I wonder how many of us are wasting our life instead of investing our life or even spending our life on the purpose that God has for us. There's a big difference. If you are spending money to invest in something, you have something to show for it at the end of the day. Material goods have material worth. And so that's different than just saying, you know what, let's just go paint the town red, as there was an old saying that used to say, that people used to say where I grew up, and they would just go out and they would waste it. They're at the end of the day, they had nothing to show for it. And yet, if you have a life and you realize that God has a purpose for you, and you are spending your life fulfilling the purpose that God has for you, that is not wasteful living. That is wisdom living. So I would tell you that everything short of spending your life for the purpose that God has for you, to some degree or another, is going to reflect the life of the younger brother, the younger son, and it will, in the long term, be wasteful spending, because what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his own soul? So you've got the father, who is very wise, very wealthy, and his original identity in this story has to do with his sons. After the relationship with his sons, then we find out about his possessions. We later find out about his compassion, about his character. We find out about his attitude towards his possessions. So, first of the first two characters are the father and the younger son. The older son, we find out about later in the story, so we'll wait till that. But he mentions that in this wasteful living, that there was more than likely some immoral living that was going on there. Said he's wasted your possessions with harlots. And a harlot was a prostitute. It was like, my services are available to the highest bidder. And I'm not attached to you emotionally. This is just a transaction. As long as it is in my best interest, that's what I'm going to do. I'm sure there were friends that had that same possession. As long as you're able to pay the bill, we're able to hang around you. And I would encourage you to evaluate and see if you have any of those fair weather friends, or you have surrounded yourself with people who are there not because they consider you a blessing. They're there because they consider you useful for their purposes. They're more interested in what you're able to provide for them than they are you. And isn't it interesting? The younger son treated his father's relationship as disposable because he valued the possessions more than his father. And then he ends up being surrounded with people who valued the younger son's possessions more than they valued him. So, the third... Well, you got the harlots and the friends, and then you have a citizen of a far country, is what it says. And this guy he's a pig farmer. He's not interested in relationship with this younger son. He's just interested in what he can do for him. What can you do for me? I've got a bunch of pigs out in the field. Hey, why don't you go hang out with the pigs and take care of them, feed them for me, and then when I'm ready to sell them, then I'm going to remove them from your hands. And this guy is providing so poorly that the young son does not even have enough financial resource to buy food for himself. If you've ever been around pigs, I can tell you I have. They stink. It is a horrific smell that is generated by them. I'm not going to try and describe it. I can tell you, though, that my father raised some pigs. I can tell you their names. They were AFC and NFC. And he put them in a pen, and it was just north of my grandparents' house. And my grandfather said, "Hey, you've got to do something about these pigs." And my dad's initial response was, "I can't believe this. You know, it's I don't smell anything. He's complaining that it smells terrible." And our house was a little to the northeast of my grandparents. And my dad thought that my grandfather was just complaining until one day the wind shifted. And when the wind shifted, all of a sudden that odor didn't go to my grandfather's house. It went to my parents' bedroom, and those pigs were gone by the end of the day or by the end of the week. They were relocated very, very quickly. It is not a pleasant industry to have, and so you've got this citizen of a foreign country, by the way, who looks at this person who is not native to that area and not interested in him as a person, just interested in what he can do for him, how he can make him rich, and that guy's not concerned whether that guy has enough food to eat or not. You also have the father's servants. They are hired, but they are hired to the father, and the father is generous. The son says, "His servants have bread enough to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger." So he made sure that they had more than enough to live on. There's the contrast between the two sons. There is contrast between the two adults in this conversation, that in how they treat their servants. And besides the father's servants, who also act as a go-between in communication between the sons and the father, you have the older son. And the older son, I would describe him this way. He is the dutiful son. So where the one was wasteful, the older one was very dutiful. But here's what I want you to see in this story. Both of them misunderstood their father. The one misunderstood him because he valued possessions more than the relationship. The older son lived a dutiful life, but without understanding the heart of the father, did not have the same heart as the father. And he held the relationship with the father hostage because of the fact that he was being merciful and compassionate and forgiving to this younger son. Here's my question for you to go into the weekend. The father, the wasteful son, the friends of the wasteful son, the employer of the wasteful son, the father's servants, or the dutiful son. So I have six different characters that I have noted from this narrative. My question for today. I mean, we're going to dive deeper into this next week. Which one of them represents you? I can't answer that question for you. I know this. The world tends to celebrate the testimonies of the wasteful that come to their senses, come to their right mind, and come back to the Father. The world celebrates that reunion, glamorizes it to the point that many times that the dutiful ones who have served faithfully year after year after year, that a lot of times they get overlooked. I can't answer which one. I can tell you this. We've got a lot of employers who value their product more than they value their people. I believe it was Fred Smith who was CEO of FedEx that had said, if I treat my employees well, they will treat my customers well. So there's that. I don't know where you fit, how you would evaluate your situation. I can be transparent with you here and say that the dutiful son is the one that I tend to identify with. He's the one that when I read about him, I've got to say, Bob, guard your heart. Because the reality is, he was drastically different than the father's servants. He had an inheritance. He had a relationship. He had the father's heart. And if we're not careful, if you've been a believer for a long time, you can miss out on the blessings that are ours because of Christ Jesus. You and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Have we been created for good works? Yes. We were created for good works before the foundation of the world. But more than good works, we were created for relationship with God. And we don't just celebrate our relationship with God. We celebrate everybody who comes to their senses, who comes back to the household of faith, who comes to the Father, who says, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Would you forgive me of my sins? And Jesus, would you be the Lord of my life? I don't know which one of these represent you the most, but I can tell you this. God represents the Father with two sons. He's the role model. He's the role model of character. He's the role model for wisdom. He's the role model for compassion. And he is the role model that we should be aspiring to be. As we dive into Luke chapter 15, I hope that you will find yourself being drawn to the Father's heart. We'll see you next week here on Refresh. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.